Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is September 12th, 2003. Today's session is entitled AIDS Orphans Benefit Hike, presented by Chris Sanderson, number SAC 2003-01. Let's listen in.
I'm assuming it's 7:30.
Now that you're eating your ice cream.
My name is Pastor Chris Sanderson, and I've been walking on the Pacific Crest Trail from Mexico to come up here, 2,569 miles or whatever it is, to get up here. To talk to you or to share with you a little bit about what the Lutheran Church is doing to make a difference in our world and to help the people in sub-Saharan Africa withstand AIDS. I'm on this hike and it's my goal is to make awareness for the issue of AIDS in Africa and particularly with the issue of AIDS orphans in Africa. I'm also trying to raise $10,000 for Lutheran World Relief's campaign Stand With Africa. The money that I'm raising is going to organizations that do work with AIDS orphans in Africa, and particularly educational institutions like the Kitteretta Construction Institute in Uganda, a school in Kenya, and other institutions throughout sub-Saharan Africa that do work with AIDS orphans, and particularly with education, training, teaching how to cook, farm, everything. So that is what I'm doing. How did this all come about? That's probably the other question. I've served for 3 years at St. John Lutheran Church in downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was the assistant pastor there for 3 years, and I went and hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2000. And then following that, I worked or served with Lutheran Outdoor Ministries of the Indiana-Kentucky Synod. I lived up in Angola, Indiana, which was about an hour north of Fort Wayne. And I'd always wanted to work at camp because I love the camp setting. You know, I mean, this kind of Holden is not like that exactly, but it's very similar. There's a very similar feel. The community feel is exactly what I really appreciate about that setting. But I found out that's not what God is calling me to do. And so I'm in between calls right now, and looking to hopefully serve a parish sometime in the West, sometime after I'm done with this hike. Now, the trail bug bit me again. I wanted to go hike another trail, and obviously the Pacific Crest Trail is calling my name. But I wanted to do something very unique and very special and very different with this hike, and I wanted to do a benefit or a cause for my hike. And I chose AIDS orphans in Africa because of a few reasons. Number one, when I was preparing to hike the Appalachian Trail, I ran into a classmate of mine named Don Averett. Don Averett was in my German class. I went to Reed Ann High School. I was talking here. What's your name again?
Lou.
I've been talking with Lou, and I'm from Stone Mountain, Georgia, and went to Reed Ann High School. Don Averett was in my German class, and she was a Southern belle. I mean, everybody was gaga over Don. I mean, she's, you know. I happened to run into her at Uncle Johnny's in Irwin, Tennessee in January. And she was out through hiking the Appalachian Trail. She was going southbound, and her hike was different. She was doing a hike called Trekking with AIDS. You see, Dawn, when she went to New York University, was raped, and she contracted AIDS. And she had full-blown AIDS in 1994, and basically had been living with AIDS and wanted to accomplish a dream of hiking the Appalachian Trail. But Dawn has also been in the forefront in this country in terms of women living with AIDS. She founded a a couple organizations dedicated to women living with AIDS. She served on Vice President Gore's commission for AIDS, and she's also does a lot of consulting work with pharmaceutical companies for women who are living with AIDS. So I ran into her, and that really opened my eyes to AIDS. That it doesn't just, you hear about it, you think, well, it's a gay problem or something like that, and it's something that all of us are living with, and all of us are affected by it. I served at St. John, like I say, for 3 years, and during that time, I did 2 funerals for people who died of AIDS. And the third funeral that I did for someone who died of AIDS was a friend of mine who lived across the street. His name was Steve. He was a stained glass window artist. And he did work that you'll see in churches throughout this country. He's even done work that you'll find in the Colorado State Capitol of Virginia. I can't remember the woman's name. He did a stained glass window piece there as well. A very talented, very gifted man. God has given him wonderful gifts, and he served the church very well through his gifts. But he ended up going into the hospital. He gave me a call, and this is when I was with Outdoor Ministries, and he says, I want you to plan my funeral for me. And I met him in the hospital. We planned his funeral. And a couple weeks later, he died of liver failure. It wasn't the AIDS, that took his life. It wasn't an illness due or an illness or a complication from AIDS. It was liver failure from the drugs that he had been taking and basically giving cirrhosis of the liver. And he died of liver failure. And Steve was probably one of the most compassionate people I've ever met in my life. And he was a good friend. And it was very sad to lose a friend to AIDS. So I've done 3 funerals. And I've only done about 15 funerals. It says a lot about AIDS in our country. That's 1 out of every 5 funerals I've done for people who died of AIDS. How does the whole Africa thing come about? When I was in college at Valparaiso University, I studied a lot on countries in what we called at that time, the lesser developed world or the undeveloped world. And now we're starting to call it the two-thirds world because we find that two-thirds of the population is south of the equator. I've always had an interest in what's happening in Africa, especially in Liberia and Angola, where I did 2 of my papers on those 2 countries. But as I started seeing more and more what was happening in the news, learning about stories of for example, in Botswana, and I was talking to someone here who has been Botswana, that in Botswana, the average life expectancy has dropped from 72 to 40. Because of AIDS. 38% of the population of Botswana is living, the adult population is living with AIDS. I learned that South Africa, 20% of the adult population is living with AIDS. And if you just saw a recent article lately, the government is still denying it. The Minister of Trade and Affairs there is still denying it's a problem. Governments in many of the countries are denying it's a problem in order to seek aid. Or money from the U.S. So it's a major problem. Then I started hearing about children. The people who are severely affected by AIDS are children. There are 13.1 million children who are orphaned due to AIDS. That means they have nobody, no parents to take care of them, nowhere to go. Sometimes they have aunts and uncles that will take care of them, but maybe even they may have passed away or dead due to AIDS. And as I started reading more and more about what's going on, I started to see that AIDS in Africa is affecting so many facets, so many parts of people's lives. We're talking food shortages in the long term. 2/3 of the agricultural workforce is women. And 60% of adults living with HIV/AIDS in Africa are women. Right now, the prediction is very grim in terms of food production beyond the future. I'm also learning that it affects environment. People are cutting down trees to make coffins, and actually the coffin business is a booming business in much of sub-Saharan Africa. It affects the environment as well. Of course, it affects families. Families are torn apart, and children have no place to go. So all this has moved me to compassion, and that's ultimately why I'm doing this. Christ has taught me compassion. Christ is. I want to share with you real quick Mark chapter 1. And it goes something like this. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the people of the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him to be baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandal. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice cried out from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Immediately, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Now as he went to Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in their boat, mending their nets. And immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and followed him. Further on in that story, just after that, Jesus goes to Capernaum, heals a demoniac, and Jesus begins a ministry in the book of Mark as he is healing and being bringing life and being one who exhibits the compassion of God to those who are the least in society at that time, to those who are oppressed, to those who are sick. And I think much in the same way that Jesus went out throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news, that we are also called in the same way to do the same thing, to reach out to those who are poor, who are oppressed, and to identify and be in solidarity with those who are oppressed. And I think, and namely, especially people who are in Africa. To prepare for this hike, one of the things I did is I read a history on Africa. I don't know if anybody here has ever read a college textbook on the history of Africa. Let me tell you, it took me a long, long time, just pages after pages. And I started out from the very beginning and went all the way to the end. As I started getting into the colonial period, I started learning more and more about some of the atrocities that have happened in Africa that happened from European colonial powers, the Portuguese, Germans, Belgians, just some major atrocities. In what is now Namibia, for those of you who don't know this, Namibia was founded as a country in 1990. That's how recent all this colonialism is. But In the German presence in that area also committed some exterminating acts that are ranked right up there with what happened in Nazi Germany. It's a very dark history, and I'm amazed that we can still go into Africa and not be driven out somehow. We have a very dark history in Africa, and the church does too. It's nice to see that the church can come in as a proclaim or as a healing presence also as well, and to help with programs that are trying to rebuild lives and withstand AIDS. I have a video I want to show you. There are success stories in Africa. There's 29.4 million people that are living with AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa. That's roughly the population of California. That's a staggering number. But there are some things that are happening. There are rays of hope, and the Lutheran Church is involved. The story here that you're going to see is in Senegal. Senegal is a success story, and you'll find out a little bit more about it. And if we can go ahead and start the video, that'd be great. Who's the video person? Oh, I've got to get over there to the video. And then after we do the video, we'll have some discussion, questions, and so on and so forth. And then there.
If the state of Minnesota were the nation of Namibia, there would be 950,000 Minnesotans living with AIDS.
Did you see that video right now?
Something's not.
When a woman can't make any money, she can sell herself. She can get AIDS.
All those women there cost $3 each, taxi included. All these young guys are waiting for the prostitutes that are gone but are coming back. And I'm here to give prophylactic and
rich protection.
Barbecue outside. Come
to take water today.
One thing
I was an emergency room doctor and knew AIDS was a sickness. But when I saw the questions that the young people were asking me before, I understood that we were not doing the war against AIDS in the hospital.
No.
No, that's a problem. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, can we stop, time out, and rewind? Barbara, thank you. I didn't check the obvious. Okay, I bet I can find it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
A technical moment here.
Right, you ever heard that? Okay, do over.
Jerry went to get one.
Here we go.
This will make it a little bit better. Even at home, we cannot imagine a jump from one wire to another.
It's the end of the season. We have to connect.
Should go into the video.
That's what we're looking for. Next to the top, I think I'm saying. There we go. Ready, do we have the
state of Minnesota were the nation of Namibia, there would be 950,000 Minnesotans living with AIDS.
When a woman can't make any money, she can sell herself. She can get AIDS.
All those women there cost $3 each, taxes included. All these young guys are waiting for the prostitutes in Agamba coming back. And I'm here to give prophylactics in order to protect them.
Barbecue outside and the sex worker inside.
Why did you say your chance?
I was an emergency room doctor and I knew AIDS was a sickness. But when I saw the questions that the young people were asking in school, I understood that we would not win the war against AIDS in the hospital.
To identify, to discover how AIDS gets into a neighborhood. Wherever they pick up the trail of AIDS, a strategy for saving Senegal begins. Watch for how it works. As Lutherans in America and as people, we have a stake in their success. Africa's day ends here. Its westernmost point is Senegal. The shortest distance between Africa and America runs straight out across this sea. All over Senegal, community groups are out to stop HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Here in the busy fishing town of Mbour, a group called Dego is out on the street and off to the market, spreading the message about HIV and AIDS. They're volunteers. They get out often, and they use educational materials from a Lutheran World Relief project.
Strategically speaking, the town of Mbour is a target for the AIDS epidemic. It provides fish for one of Senegal's biggest regions, and it's a crossroads town on two main highways. So there are a lot of truckers here, and prostitution is really well developed. And the risk factor that we notice most around here is from the tourist trade. Since Mbour is a fishing town, we say there are three boats to save people from AIDS. There is a boat for faithfulness, a boat for abstinence, and a boat for condoms. This is very relevant for the fishermen here, and people really get it. When you explain that this is the way to escape AIDS, a lot of people prefer to stay on the boat for faithfulness because they are married or choose abstinence. Lots of people come to talk to us about things after the workshop. They find us and say, I heard you, and I'm going to do something about this.
Sometimes I leave home in the morning without giving my family any food. When I come here, if I make some money, I send food home to my kids. poverty is what leads a person to go out and sell herself. When a woman can't make any money, she can sell herself. And when she does that, she can get AIDS. Then the worst happens.
The group knows who's on every street and invites everyone to do their part. Today, their stops include a woodcarver and a barbershop.
The way Diggo works is simple. They look at the situation and ask, is there risky behavior here? At a barber's, it's how you use razors. Change blades between customers and don't cut yourself.
You have to ask people to protect themselves against AIDS because it is a plague on society. We risk losing a lot of people. Everyone has to be involved in the fight.
We use these things in education and in medical clinics.
It's important to have this wooden penis in order to demonstrate prophylactics.
I don't know if onlookers change their behavior, but they get the message. When they see this, they start to smile and know what we are trying to get across. It works by itself.
I would advise faithfulness. It's the best way. When one is faithful, one does not have to use anything else.
These women are very dynamic, very motivated. They are married, they have children, they work. But despite all that, they get out and help their sisters and brothers in town against AIDS. The members are Muslim. They are faithful, wise, and pure. Their president is always telling them, we don't do anything except by the grace of God. They're fantastic women. I love them all. We share the same desire to help people.
That desire to help attracts others, including this town's biggest sports hero.
I consider myself a member of the group Dego. I am a son of the town, so whatever they are doing to help young people, I join in. What I can do to help fight AIDS is to talk to the young and tell them about it. AIDS destroys the community. They have to know they can avoid getting it. So we must call the young together and talk to them about what AIDS is and how to avoid it.
The importance of groups like Dego is that they have the courage to go into the bars. They work at a level the government won't. And best of all, they do it as volunteers. If a war is a battlefield in the war on AIDS, the strongest soldiers are the members of Dego.
My first name is Musa, my last name is Faye, and my main objective is to protect you.
Have you ever met a man who didn't want to use condoms and was willing to pay twice the regular price?
I'll never go with the man who won't use condoms. For me, it's not worth the money.
No matter how much money he offers?
Whatever the amount, I want to sell. He can even give me $20, but I'll refuse.
Do your children know what you're doing?
Do they know what I'm doing? Not at all. They should know.
Bachu, if you were to give advice to a young person you love, what would you say to them?
My advice to such a person? I advise them to stay on the straight and narrow.
Here in Ambor, there's a lot of prostitution, but most of the girls you see aren't from here. They're outsiders. What forces them into prostitution is the fact that there are tourists here, and because there's a lot of poverty here. These girls don't even think about AIDS. They only see the money they can make to solve their problems and help their families.
Far from the lights and all the information about AIDS, in a wildcat brothel on the edge of town, the virus can't even be mentioned by name. When a sex worker here admits she is sick with malaria, what she really means is that she has HIV.
Because of AIDS, no one should do what you're doing without having a licensed medical exam.
AIDS, may God deliver us from evil. Heaven help us.
Yes, heaven help us. I still need an answer. Where's your license?
It's with Mrs. Ndiaye at the hospital.
Why did you leave it with Mrs. Ndiaye?
She took it. I have malaria.
When somebody is doing what you're doing, they should always carry their license.
Didn't you hear what I said? I have malaria. At the center of this strategy for preventing AIDS is an organization called ACI. ACI helps to mobilize 80 groups like DEGO. Supporting and strengthening ACI for years has been Lutheran World Relief. ACI was started by an American Peace Corps volunteer whose life's work is with Africa.
I came to Senegal as a Peace Corps volunteer in 1965, worked in training-related activities over the years, gradually moving into health. And about 15 years ago, with a colleague, we started an NGO called ACI, Africa Consultants International. We have a sort of organic view of how the human being has to respond to the epidemic. The virus reproduces very quickly. And our feeling is that in a given society, you have to produce antiviral elements in that society more quickly than the virus reproduces through awareness raising and the training of individuals and the spreading of information. Trying to do that more quickly than the virus itself can spread in any given society.
I was a medical teacher and advisor with ACI. We had to do a bit of everything. Prevention, teaching, treatment. For me, it was a 20-year apprenticeship. ACI is a good model. It may be one of the fundamental things beating AIDS in Senegal. ACI works with people where they are and works to reinforce their capacity. It takes time. But it is the only approach that's durable.
We had identified certain people working with local organizations who had really emerged as exceptional in terms of their involvement, their devotion, their interest, their communication skills. And we decided to use a caseworker's approach. So basically we hired 5 caseworkers, assigned each caseworker a region based on where they had come from. We identified 4 or 5 key groups in each region that had either been doing good work in AIDS-related projects or had the potential to do work in that area.
My name is Abdoulaye Konate. I'm a caseworker for ACI for the region of Kala. Each month, I spend a week in the region and I work with groups. I help train them. They are community organizations at the grassroots, not part of the government. Our work is about information. We provide resource materials. It's worth it to be here. I don't have any reservations about this kind of work. In my opinion, Ousmane Cisse is someone rather important in the life of the village. You can see it by his influence. When he asks someone to participate in something, they do. Ousmane is highly respected in this village. His gifts are his involvement, tenacity, and his dynamism.
If I were to try to explain these people over here, what by example, because over here they don't usually use the condom. Sometimes they say they don't know how to use them, they don't know how to get it.
I was over there also in the United States. And when I was come back home, I know the problem can run everywhere in this world.
Yeah. And the place to go to explain them.
I was preparing to work for sensitizing people and let them know exactly what is the AIDS.
These traveling markets are meeting places, places to trade, places to do business. Some people come to sell their products, others come to sell, you have to say it, their flesh.
The shepherd food.
This is an animal, and they come. And that comes is passing room. Barbecue outside, and the sex work today inside.
Since this is a rural community, information takes a long time to get here. A group like this, the Ganda Farmers Union, has been active for 10 years in the fight against AIDS. It's important that we support them as the group spreads information in its own community and beyond. Tell me, what's going on over there, or what is this place?
This home is a clandestine bar where alcohol is sold, where people go to get drunk, also where prostitutes gather. It can bring many diseases because lots of people meet here, including travelers from across the border.
Is this house open every day?
It's open all the time.
We didn't come here for alcohol. Our problem is a disease we are all fighting, and we want to know if people have the means of protection. This is what we are looking for.
That's a good topic, because we have families too, or are hoping to have one.
If I meet a good man that can take care of me, I'll get married to him. I'll be a good wife for him.
In the shadows here, 15 years after AIDS began in Senegal, the door is still open for HIV. But as people have fallen ill, ACI has helped to open other doors for medical and spiritual care. Father Paul Monet is part of a church AIDS network in this largely Muslim country. From this hospital, at any one time, he's a chaplain to 30 AIDS patients.
I don't know.
Our role as priests above all is to help people to talk to themselves about their situation, not to blame others, but to reconcile with themselves, to reconcile with others, and to reconcile with God.
My family does not know about this up till now. Only my wife knows. Once the family knows you have HIV/AIDS, things are never the same, and they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore.
I see that what people who live with AIDS need the most is to know that you love them.
When I found out, I thought, this is really bad, but I knew I was going to have to keep up my spirits and keep up my hopes until the last moment.
Jesus would have said to all people with a virus, I come to bring life, and that means to fight against whatever destroys life.
I feel okay compared to a little while ago, but I'm not 100%. This time last year, I thought I was not going to make it.
We have made the sexual act into nothing. Prophylactics freely available. People can make love whenever, however, with whomever they please. Condoms aren't completely safe and aren't the real way to overcome the virus.
One way to understand AIDS is to see your neighbor sick. Until the day we are lost, we are here and have our part in society. I hope that one day we can walk freely in public.
There are cases when a person knows they have the virus but continues to live out sexual relations without precaution, even with the idea of passing on the virus, to pass on death. That's dramatic and painful for us who counsel people because we are bound to confidentiality.
We do about 150 HIV tests a month, and about 7% test HIV positive. This reflects the fact that our testing is free and anonymous, and that people who are at risk find their way here.
We put ourselves in the place of the patient. For example, if a patient is HIV positive, it is really difficult because there are parents to think of, the children, the spouse. We also counsel patients who test negative on how to stay negative. This test is negative. Helping to keep a community HIV negative is another local partner of ACI in the Dakar Shanty Town. The group is like a civil defense force against the virus. They do a silent walk, the transect.
A transect walk is a community march. The transect is a tool to help us identify factors that are all around us, even basic things that we overlook, which are risks linked to AIDS. During a transect walk, you also observe behaviors that are risky, and you have to show people that these are behaviors that we can change by working with people. This is what you can find. By a clinic, there may be objects contaminated with blood, syringes, razors, other things we overlook. You can also see houses that are really clandestine bars where young people gather. That is a risk factor. And you also find resources that exist. You come across community centers like this one, where people can gather, especially women, and get trained.
What Anbeth is doing here is excellent work. They multiply information. They don't keep it to themselves.
Let's see that.
Their facilitators share information about AIDS with the people around here, with women's groups, with the kids in school, and places where young people hang out.
It is important to teach young people so they know prevention, so they know how HIV is transmitted. They live with their families and they will talk about this with their families. Soon they will grow up. They are the ones going into the future. So if they learn about AIDS now, they will be ready for AIDS the day they grow up.
There are already radical changes in behavior among young people now educated about this disease, ACI finds. And ACI gives special credit to Lutheran World Relief for offering the trust and understanding that have enabled it to be a pioneer in stopping AIDS and a teacher for many other groups in Senegal and beyond.
What LWR does for ACI, the collaboration that exists between them and ACI, it is collaboration that bears much fruit.
Bears fruit? Yes. We stand with Senegal because God loves every person in this story. And that's why Lutheran World Relief is here on your behalf.
Senegal's openness and its response to the epidemic is an example to be followed. At no time has the government tried to hide what's happening in Senegal. You've got top government leaders, including the president himself. You've got people responsible for education. You've got the National AIDS Control Program. You've got religious leaders, both Christian and Muslim. It hasn't been an easy process, but gradually, everybody has been brought in to the search for responses to the epidemic. And I think that's really the key. It's getting everybody involved.
When we rent these for family gatherings, lots of people get together and each one is going to read these messages, pay attention to AIDS, and get it into their heads.
Dans les villages.
In the villages and women's groups and youth groups, the people reflect and say, what are we going to do? Being poor does not stop them.
There you see that kissing someone does not give you AIDS. Mosquitoes don't. Shaking hands doesn't. This is an interactive car. People learn the facts from the pictures. On the other side, you see ways you can get HIV. It spreads through sexual contact between men and women, for example.
I don't think it's a question of whether Senegal is going to be there. It's a question of whether humanity is going to be there. The virus doesn't know anything about borders. HIV doesn't know the difference between New York and Dakar. It can go anywhere. And it does.
We're all believers here. We have a lot of trust in God, and it is that which pushes us to help our people who maybe haven't quite understood the message. So that, can we say, they will be saved?
But the solution won't come from heaven. It won't be a telephone call from the good Lord. It will be man feeling responsibility for his acts, living in faithfulness, living in abstinence. I believe that is the word of the gospel and of hope.
Senegal will beat AIDS, I'm sure. Senegal has rallied all its forces against AIDS. It's as if our army, our navy, and our air force, everyone here is mobilized against the AIDS epidemic. So, we will beat AIDS. God willing.
Help the brave people beating AIDS in Senegal and across Africa. Join Stand With Africa, a campaign of hope. Learn more. Pray. Give to help stop AIDS. Speak out for our government to do its part.
It's not too tired after that. It's a very informative, probably one of the most informative videos that I've come across. And certainly we can learn a lot about what the church is doing and how the church is involved. in the fight against AIDS. In talking with people and learning more about AIDS, I've come to find out that the church is really at the forefront in Africa in battling AIDS. Other governments are not taking a stance. Kind of like what Senegal hears is there's a lot of cooperation that's going on between the church and the government and other organizations. Same thing in Uganda. Uganda's made significant strides in combating AIDS, but a lot of other governments or in other countries, they're, like I say, they're still denying it. And so really, we thank the church for being at the forefront in combating AIDS, which, as I've been on the Pacific Crest Trail, you know, I've met people and talked to them about what I'm doing, and you know, talking about how the church has evolved. A lot of people think that there's some kind of strings attached, you know, that the church has, you know, and you know, that we're trying to, you know, beat them over the head with Bibles or whatever, and and all that. And I say, no, it's a very compassion-driven ministry, and especially with what Lutheran World Relief is doing, the main focus here is on relief, education, and prevention. Some impressions from the video that you saw. Anything that you saw that that struck out, that jumped out at you, or that you saw that was informative, or something that we can learn from this video in our own country, or
not from the video, but you mentioned that lady that is living with AIDS, and she's a consultant and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
How is it that she's still alive?
She's been withstanding AIDS for quite a while. Obviously, a lot of the drugs that she's been taking has kept her alive. And in fact, she had a baby. She gave birth. If you're diagnosed with AIDS, it doesn't mean that if you have children that they're going to have AIDS. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not an expert on how all that works, but she just had a baby. And
it's AIDS-free?
Yes. And if you just go to google.com and type in Dawn Averitt, DawnAverett, you'll find there's tons of information about her. And you can pretty much figure out her whole personal life story just by doing that. So she's really, when I talked to her and found out her story, she said, you know, I didn't want something like this to take me down, because this is something that can take someone down. And she wanted to do something positive with her life and to help fight the disease.
Just a story. My youngest daughter served in Peace Corps in Mozambique, and part of what she was asked to do was some AIDS awareness in her school, and so she hooked up with a local doctor to help with that process, and in talking with him, she discovered that when he diagnoses someone with AIDS, he wasn't telling them. And she asked why, and he said, if I told them that, they would lose all hope. And that really stunned her, because, you know, if that's happening, you know, with the medical profession, then the spread of that epidemic is going to be enormous. That's since changed as far as his practice goes. But, it was that kind of denial and that lack of information that was really helping spread that whole problem.
Someone else have a...
I was just going to ask you, now you're doing this walk. Has someone pledged this money to you?
No, I'm looking to you help me. I got sponsors from companies and stuff like that to help me just do the hike, but But I have a brochure here that has a little form on here that you can fill out and send in to Lutheran World Relief. And if you send this form in with your gift, they'll make sure that it helps go towards, you know, the money that I'm trying to raise, the $10,000 goal. This brochure has some information and is a way for you to give. Any other observations? Yeah.
I was impressed watching them, how forthright they are in talking right up front about the wooden carved penis and how demonstration and how honest.
I think that's something that we can learn from as well. Denial is right now that I read an article in the southeastern part of the United States that AIDS they're finding is a problem culturally in the southeastern part of the United States because there's a cultural denial and perhaps maybe it's just not talked about. I can't remember the whole specifics of the article or anything like that, but I know that they're saying in the southeastern United States it's a problem, and this is certainly out in the open. And one of the things that one guy who was just wearing the Sebago T-shirt, blue T-shirt, he's just walking into places. Yo, what's he on? He's talking to people and bringing it up very open. And I thought this is interesting. They have a camera, in this clandestine bar where there's people, hanging out. And the guy's like, that's a good question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly getting the information out as best they can. Every time I watch this video, I always know something new or different in here about that. Yeah.
I thought one of the most interesting things about the film was the collective walk, the silent walk. Can you tell us any more about that? Because, I mean, that's a technique, it seems to me, could be. I mean, there's cultural differences, obviously, great cultural differences, but that sort of collective presence, that silence, that observatory, seems to me to be a very interesting mechanism that we can learn things from.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar. What I know is from the video here. I guess if there's any correlation, my experience is when I was in college and I used to do silent walks down through Fraternity Row, because we were fools in college sometimes. they got their more message across. Yeah.
Just a little thought. We have heard so much bad news in terms of AIDS and sometimes the attitudes, and just to realize in terms of the people that we run into that they're living with AIDS. And for us to have that attitude that they have, they're living with it. They don't talk about dying with AIDS, they're living with it.
Right.
And if we can walk alongside them and be people of hope, that can make an awful lot of difference.
One thing that someone brought out in one of these sessions in the video that they noticed is I asked what can we learn from the example here, and we learned that Senegal is largely a Christian nation or Muslim?
Muslim.
Yeah. And what did they talk about cooperation in Senegal? They mentioned that the government, the mosques, Christian churches are all working together. And I think there's something that we can learn in our own country about this model what's happening there. Cooperation between Christians and Muslims. And at a time right now where tensions between Christians and Muslims in this country are kind of at an all-time high, I think there's something that can be learned from this, and that there is a common enemy in Senegal that they're battling against, and the disease of AIDS. And what are some of the enemies that we could work together with people of other faiths in our own country to battle against war, hunger, poverty, And speaking of poverty, what is the connection between poverty and AIDS? What were we able to learn from this video here on that?
Huh? People do anything to feed their family.
Right. Right. And so there are some women that are, say, selling their flesh to feed their family. And it's a survival for them.
But tourists were probably the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Because they're buying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other, and it's not just tourists, it's also one person who has been intimately familiar with Africa. I've never been to Africa. Has told me that one of the things that's really contributed to the spread of AIDS is transportation and trucking. The people that drive goods around the continent of Africa. And that's been one way that AIDS has really spread in the way that it has. Any other comments you want to share? Jesus came and talked about the kingdom of God. Time is being fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we know that as Christians that this kingdom of God is being ushered in. It's not quite here. I remember hearing someone saying that it's like a baby being born. It's not quite here, but it's on its way. And Jesus has called us to be disciples, to be the light of the world, to share the light of Christ with others, to be compassionate. And I think as Jesus called Simon and Andrew and James and John, who immediately left what they were doing to follow him, I think we also have a call to do the same thing, to respond to those in need, and to go and share the life of Christ with others. And I hope that you can help do that and help me do that as well by contributing with Stand With Africa. And by praying for the people in Lutheran World Relief and the tireless work that they're doing, the people who are on the front lines here in Senegal, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Botswana, Malawi, all these countries in South and Sub-Saharan Africa that struggle and live with AIDS every day of their lives. And before we break up here, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, you bring us life through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have taught us that what salvation is, that we are righteous, and that we are good in your sight. God, we pray that we look with compassion to our neighbors in need in this country and abroad, especially in Africa, to those who are living and suffering with AIDS. And God, may we give out of our hearts and out of our needs, or out of what we have to help those who are working to fight AIDS, to withstand AIDS, to educate those who are still uncertain of what AIDS is, and to help curb this horrible disease. And gracious God, we give thanks that we are bearers of the cross, that we have been enjoined to Christ through our baptism, so that we can let our light so shine that others may see your glory. And God, we thank you for Holden Village here, for the ministry that it has here with us, and that continues to nurture us in our faith. We pray this prayer through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. And I'll be around until Sunday. If anybody has anything, any questions, I didn't want to talk about hiking here. If anybody wants to talk to me about the trail or anything else like that, I'll be happy to talk about that. I really care about what our church is doing, and I'm not been to Africa. I'm not an expert on AIDS or anything like that. And again, I'm out of compassion, and because I care, but I'll be happy to talk about AIDS as well, maybe it's played a role in your life in some way. Maybe you know someone who's died of AIDS, or maybe is living with AIDS, and I'd be happy to hear what your comments are, because I'm learning all about this stuff myself more and more every day. But again, I'll be here till Sunday, and I want to say thank you for having me here, and thank you for supporting me on the hike, and please make sure you grab a brochure and contribute.
If I give you money, or if we give you money, do you have a way of receiving that and passing it on to the right, to where you...
I'm really not the best with money, because I'm hiking on the trail, and I don't want to...
So we use the brochure.
Yeah, so the best thing to do is take the brochure and send that in.
Okay.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a question.
Will you be making presentations other places in the Northwest?
Yeah, I'm going to Seattle, Faith Lutheran Church in Seattle on Sunday. I'll be there next Sunday.
This Sunday.
Yeah. Yes?
I think your goal of 10,000 is too small.
My brother.
Think big.
My brother said the same thing, and I was talking to Jennifer. Is Jennifer here? I was talking to a young woman named Jennifer, and I was saying, my brother told me the same thing. I said, I've always had very big goals and very big dreams, and I wanted to do something I know could be attainable. I'm $500 short, and so I'm thinking I'm definitely going to exceed my goal.
Good.
But thank you for the comment.
Yes. Good.